get done, you're gonna be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long because you got the fat ass. The only one chance you have, no chance. If you had a chance, you'd use the run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat ass.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the dens of lions. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good luchas.
I hate ducks.
Hit the duck. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
I get the storybook. Y'all tucked in? Here we go. Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, where laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to good, there lived a little boy who was misled by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you tonight, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making the dash. They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another, and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DT undercover.
All right. What is going on, everybody? Thursday night is here. That means this is Wrestling Outlet. That means I am Boxman. And across from me is the one, the only...
Well, it is I, the Vice of Generations, Mark Wahlberg. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all. Been a crazy, like you said, crazy week around here. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It was, it's been like you said, an interesting week, but been kind of fun. What's going on with you, my man?
Not a lot. It's not been a very great week, but we'll get to it.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to it.
I'll get through it, not so much to it. I don't know if I really want to say too much about it just for the sake of, I don't want to bum people out, but I took my dog to the vet Tuesday and just, it wasn't good news.
You know, my dad actually had, his dog actually had surgery yesterday. His dog has two torn ACLs that can barely walk. So they did the surgery on one yesterday. And my dad wasn't actually, you know what? No. It was Tuesday the surgery was. They picked him up yesterday. And this is a big lab, a big black lab, and they're having to carry this poor pup around and put him on the bed and put him here and put him there. Oh, shit. It's pathetic with Scott and Rybread chiming in. What's going on, man?
What's going on, good friend?
See, man, we get back on Mixler. We got some old school people coming in. We went totally old school with the fucking intro today. Was it good feel? Did it feel good to hear the old intros, Mark?
Of course.
There you go. But yeah, man, the pet thing, the dogs, and it's tough, man. I mean, I've got a little pup. My old dog has fucking nothing but 10 teeth left, and they're family, bro. No matter what, you know. And now I've got a fucking petting zoo outside. Let's see, I have 19 chickens, 2 ducks, 3 pigs, 3 goats, 5 baby goats. We have 3 rabbits my wife got. And what am I missing? Oh, 1 ram named Aries. I think that's it. But we're getting another pig next week. I don't know why. She wants one. And I think we're getting another rabbit. I mean, we've got a fucking petting zoo out there, bro. The pigs are fucking cool. They're babies. They're called, they're Cooney pigs.
So interesting.
They don't get huge. They're not piglets. I mean, they're piglets right now. They're little babies. We named 1 Meatloaf after the singer, not the food.
Of course.
He's the boy. The girl is named Queen, and I totally forgot the other girl's name. But we named them all after band names, and my wife is getting another girl named Reba, another Cooney pig that we're going to bring home. But, you know, we have she does her research, and I'll tell you, man, these animals are they're cool. They're super cool. They're really fucking cool animals, man. They're, you know, the pigs are new, so they're still getting used to us. But we walk outside, the goats and the baby goats all run up to us. They all trust us, you know, and it's pretty cool, man. You don't, you know, you just, you don't, you hear horror stories about people who have goats. Oh, they're aggressive. They're this, they're that. Well, not the kind I have. The Nigerian dwarfs. Yeah, I know. Once they told me that I won a lottery, I didn't believe them. I just can't cash the check.
Constantly trying to scam me.
Yeah, they keep telling me they can't cash the check. I don't get it. But nah, they're really cool, man. But those are named after flowers. Our chickens, we haven't named the chickens yet because you can't tell one from the other. We do have one named Rocky Balboa, We have a gold one. It's black and gold. I have dubbed it Goldbird. It's got gold all over it. And its belly is like all gold. It's weird. It looks like it has a belt on. So I have named it Goldbird.
See, I wouldn't be able to do this because this would like I would just automatically I'd be stuck having to become vegan at this point. Because it's like, we talked about this before, I go to Dollywood from time to time, there's ducks.
Yeah.
And like, I've bonded with these fucking ducks, because the ducks will they'll eat funnel cake, they'll eat popcorn, they'll come up by to you. It's always great watching the people that don't know better, because they'll try to feed them by hand, and they'll try to put the food between their fingers like you're feeding a dog. Oh. Just every time, like, there's a perverse pleasure I get out of watching the ducks bite the fucking kids' fingers and watching the kids jerk back. It's fun for me. I always throw food on the ground for them, and they come up to me, and that's the extent of it, because I know that if I put it in my hand, they're going to fucking try to take skin off of my fingers, and I don't want that.
Well,
if
you hold your hand flat, they can't touch your fingers. So you can do that, and you can even cup your hand a little bit so the food won't fall out. But just don't curl your fingers and hand it to them. But if you hold your hand the right way, like a small bowl, I grew up around horses. So horses, goats, sheep, ram, they're all fucking basically the same type of animal. Four legs and fucking teeth. So I learned how to give horses carrots and stuff, you know, without getting my fucking fingers chopped off.
Right.
But at a lot of those places that I went riding and, you know, showing horses, they usually had ponds, which is really where I started fishing. I would ride, then I would go fishing. And I would always end up, you know, feeding the ducks out of my hand. But these animals are cool. Some of them might end up in the freezer. Meatloaf might end up in the freezer. He's neutered, so he's not really useful except for some nummy nums. But you know, it is what it is. The kids are gonna have a hard time with it, but as soon as we throw bacon on their plate, I guarantee they'll forget about it.
That's a dangerous game. I wouldn't be so upfront with like saying that that's what it is. Because I'm saying that's what I was saying about the ducks. Is just like, I've had duck before and I love it. Like, it tasted pretty good. I like the way it tastes. I can't have duck again because I've had these experiences with these ducks.
Yeah.
Like, I eat chicken all the time, but like I've never had any sort of bond with a chicken before. I stay away from chickens as much as possible because that's going to ruin my fucking entire dietary plan. If I befriend a chicken, it's over from there.
I'll tell you though, we have, this week has been a great week for eggs. We have, let me see, we have about 6 duck eggs, and the duck eggs are about double the size of a chicken egg. And the yolk, the yolk is like, I mean, I'm talking like a silver dollar pancake yolk, giant fucking yolks. And we've had like just eggs. We've like 7 a day and like 2 to 3 chicken eggs a day or duck eggs a day. It's been, might start a little side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got 10.
Awesome.
Baby chickens out SBC there. No, go ahead.
Asking the hard hitting questions. SBC's asking the hard hitting questions. Yeah. Will you name the next addition to your farm, Hugsy?
You know, maybe one. Maybe I'll name a chicken that for you, bro. All right. You know what? I might even name one Baron for you. How's that?
Downside is whatever poor animal ends up getting named Hugsy by you is just immediately getting eaten. That just seems like you've already pretty much made it clear that that's what you intend on doing with some of these creatures.
My wife wants to do it to the rabbits. I'll be honest, I've never had a rabbit.
No.
But
no.
We got some big old rabbits out there, man. Big old rabbits. But
no.
Cheese man, welcome, sir. Welcome. What the fuck? Two times today I've had to turn on Mixler after not turning it on for 3 months. Well, I have country internet, and this is all I can broadcast over. So I apologize, sir, but I'm actually not pissed about being back on Mixler. I'm actually a little happy about it. So mm-hmm. I like it. Oh, yes, baby. Yeah, sure. My wife is going to bring me a shot of Jaeger. Because she,
that's always fun. I mean, that's a full fudge. I was about to say we're in like kind of a retro throwback situation now because you can use a Mixler and like fucking. There's been like a resurgence thanks to like TikTok and e-girls and shit of like new metal. Like people are just in love with fucking the Deftones again. So we're throwing shit back, and now you're about to have some Jaeger shots. So like we're taking this all the way back to like fucking 2006.
Bro.
I don't know. I had it a lot when I was like 19 and 20.
I mean, we went back even further with the fucking intro. I played fucking Slick Rick Children's Story. I mean, we're just going totally retro. I actually saw him
perform live.
Say what? You did?
I did. Yeah, it was him. It was Dougie Fresh. It was about an hour long show. It was part of a music festival, so it wasn't like the only reason to go, but they did about an hour. It was pretty interesting. It was fun times. I felt like he kind of had to see him just for the sake of like being a fan of like hip hop and the history of hip hop and that kind of thing. It just seemed like it was an essential person that like kind of like getting it off the list of like big old card kind of situation.
Hey, I saw fucking Public Enemy live. I didn't expect to. I did not know that was who was opening for U2. Yes, the band U2.
Of course.
Public Enemy. I mean,
what could go better with U2 than a guy dressed like a Viking?
I mean, Public Enemy, U2, that's just, I don't know how that doesn't make sense to you.
I'm sure. Man, I wouldn't have given to see just like the fucking Green Room and that concert tour of just like fucking Bono and Flavor Flav just having a bonding experience.
And what other band? I've mentioned this before on the show. I know I have. Big Audio Dynamite was the opener for the opener. So it was Big Audio Dynamite, then Public. It was they don't have that many like great songs. I don't even know if you would ever. You probably have. I don't even know if they were like big on the radio. Oh, Big Audio Dynamite Band. I mean, they were pretty successful. I don't think you've ever heard any of their songs. Matter of fact, I don't think I had ever heard any of their songs when I was up there. But they were good. I thoroughly enjoyed them. And then fucking, they were kind of punk ska, more ska of a type band. I can pull up here. You know what? Let me go to YouTube. I'll pull up one song, play it for a minute. That's another good thing about being back on fucking audio, baby.
That makes sense. I don't really. I do a little bit of punk, but not really ska. Ska's not really.
Shit, they have a fucking thing called On the Road 1992. That might have been when I went and fucking saw them, to be honest with you. I might have seen them in 1992, to be honest. Let me see what we got here. Commercial. Optimum.
Sign up and get 1 gig internet.
No,
for as low as
shut up. Shut up. All right, here we go.
Okay, well, we've had Live Aid and we've had Farm Aid. This one's called Kool-Aid.
Let's fast forward a little bit. Okay, if you bought The Clash on Wish, you've got Big Audio Dynamite. Make sense?
I think so. I think I got you.
You know who The Clash is? Rock the Casbah?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes, I know who The Clash is. It's not a genre that I specifically traffic in, but I'm aware of them, yes.
We do no trafficking on this show at all, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I guess considering some of the things we talk about, trafficking, Jesus probably not the best Christ. Phrase.
Some kind of shithead? Oh, sorry. This is going to a way new level. Hey, do y'all know we're a wrestling show?
Occasionally.
Yeah, fuck it. Like I said, man, we got barely any fucking news to get into, and nothing's really worth fucking sinking our teeth into. There's nothing big going on. But anyway, yeah, that was a good one. I really, who else have I seen hip hop? I saw Criss Cross live when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, I think
good.
I think I remember you mentioning that. Actually.
Yeah, we, my crew got into a little scuffle with them, to be honest with you. Yeah, they were.
I'm pretty sure I made the same joke when you mentioned it the last time too. But I just picture that being like a fucking West Side Story situation. I'm just like fucking a bunch of like you're on opposite sides of the street. You're snapping your fingers at each other. You have on leather jacket. You have on like the fucking leather jackets or whatever. But you, so does Criss Cross. But they're wearing them backwards.
It was more like they were talking shit. We tried to call them out. Their big security guards got in front of them and threw them in a car. A fucking SUV, actually, and they took off. More like.
I mean, I will say, if I had to fight any rapper or rappers, Criss Cross would probably be a safe bet.
They were dicks. They came in, they did like half a fucking show, they fucking left early, they were cussing, they were yelling, they had some other guy with them that was really doing most of the shit for them. It was fucking horrible, and we happened to be right by the stage, and they could hear us, so... They were talking shit. We were talking shit. It was fun times. It was fun times back in 18 years old at Club Boca.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, Club
My
Boca.
My mom was a security guard for a concert venue, so she did a lot of concerts, and she was saying like the person she hated the most was fucking Mariah Carey because she was just a massive bitch. Like, mind you, this is an outdoor concert venue. She stopped the show and refused to continue unless somebody like a couple rows back put out their cigarette. Again, open air.
Oh,
completely outside.
See, I love, first of all, like an amphitheater you're talking. Love those.
Yeah, it was exactly an amphitheater, yes.
Love those fucking shows. I love the grass seats. I love those shows. I think they're fucking awesome. I love amphitheaters. We used to go to one, I forget the name of it. There was one in Palm Beach that we saw a bunch of concerts at. I mean, I saw fucking, from fucking 311, I saw fucking Rob Zombie, I saw Ozzy, I saw fucking Metallica, I mean, you name it, I fucking saw them. But there was one near where I lived in Pompano Amphitheater. They had all the old classic rock bands all the time, man. They would have Bad Fucking Company, they'd have, the reincarnation of Lynyrd Skynyrd playing. They'd have a lot of fucking old classic rock bands, and my buddy lived right across the street. So we would just sit outside his fucking place drinking cheap beer, smoking weed, and listening to the fucking music, man.
Sounds like a time.
It was great. I mean, we couldn't see what was going on, but you were still hearing the same live music. Buffett played there a couple times. Your favorite, I know.
Well, that is the interesting thing. And we'll stay on that topic, is that I was talking to you, I just mentioned my mom working security for the concert venue. Mm-hmm. She said that this was in, she worked there during like the mid to late 90s. So the two acts that were like the most difficult for her to do her job while they were performing were two acts. You'll probably never guess them because they have absolutely nothing in common with each other, and it was for wildly different reasons. Number one was Jimmy Buffett, because there was just a bunch of like aging, older, drunken, typically white guys just like pissing all over the place and like groping people. And this was at a time when that was still like sort of okay. So like it wasn't as bad as it would be now, but it was just like people playing grab ass and getting drunk and peeing where they ought not pee, and maybe occasionally doing other things, drugs and throwing up and shit like that. So that was an experience, apparently. The other one was Hanson. And like I said, this is two wildly different audiences.
What?
But the Hanson thing, it would, I know it sounds crazy. It was fucking 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, and they would not stop screaming, and they would not stop attempting to storm the stage. Now, with the Buffett people, you could just, like, chuck them on their ass. You could throw them, like, their bags of shit or whatever. It wouldn't matter.
Well,
they were just drunk assholes. So you could, like, kind of rough them up a little bit, and it was fine. Nobody really cared all that much. But, like, you couldn't do anything to these 12-year-old girls because...
They're 12-year-old girls. They're 12-year-old girls.
Yeah.
I mean, the Buffett fans are a bunch of fucking drunk, stoned hippies. Leftover hippies.
I mean, it wasn't a huge deal. She was saying they were hard to, like, corral, basically, because it was like you couldn't really reason with them because they were so fucking drunk.
Yeah.
So, like, there wasn't so much, like, it didn't get violent, but it was just a lot of, like, public urination and fucking, like I said, people playing grab ass.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get us in the chutes when you want to put us in there.
Mm-hmm.
Us parrot heads, you know, because we can fly.
Yes, this is true. Yes. But it is just funny because it's just such a wildly different group of people. I mean, maybe like there was some sort of like you'd start off a Hanson fan, and then as you aged, you might have found your way into Margaritaville, but
see,
doubtful.
See, some of the best concerts I've been to have been Jimmy Buffett, and honestly, most of my memorable, like most memorable concerts, I've seen them 6 times is Marilyn Manson. Manson puts on a fucking great show, man. He puts on a great, he's like fucking Cher. He's changing outfits, he's coming out, he's doing this, he's doing that. Hey.
He's wearing outfits where his ass is exposed.
He may.
Cher, I understand what you're saying.
He may. Listen, I may or may not have been at the Rose Bowl when he attempted to give Trent Reznor a little bit of a, you know. But you got to take that into context. He was thanking Trent Reznor for making his career, which Trent Reznor did make his career. He didn't really try to do it. He didn't. He didn't. I mean, I think he might have. but anyhow,
that kind of has to be the closer, right? Like, if I know he didn't let him, but like, if he would have just let him, like, if Marilyn Manson blows you, that's the end of the show. Like, no matter what song you're on, that's when you finish. So does the show.
Is it or is it the start of the show? I don't know, man. I mean, it was the 90s. It was a different time, Smark.
I suppose.
It was a different time. It was a different vibe, if you will, sir. He really does, though, put on.
U2 is coming up next.
U2 put on a good show, but they're actually a little boring, and you really see how bad of a guitar player The Edge is. He is not a good guitar player, which is why they have him making those crazy guitar sounds with his guitar.
I feel like a little boring is the politest thing anyone has ever said about U2. U2 to me is fucking tedium in audio form.
I don't know, man. Their concerts are really good. A lot of bright lights, a lot of shit on the back. I mean, I've really never been to a concert and...
Keep in mind that you're explaining everything other than the music. The concerts are great. There's lasers and pyrotechnics and there's some popcorn, the hot dog guy, the beer guy was on your
show. I don't mind their music either. But I mean, I don't mind their music. Dude, I'm
digging this hole further and further.
I really listen to music for different reasons than just, I don't know, man.
Enjoyment?
I've seen Dave Matthews Band live, dude. Okay, does that explain anything to you? I paid.
Well, as a Chicagoan, I kind of have heat with Dave Matthews.
I paid.
For obvious reasons.
I paid to see Dave Matthews Band, bro. Okay? All right? Just fucking leave me alone, okay? No, I honestly, dude, U2, I grew up with U2. I like a lot. I do love a lot of their fucking songs. I really fucking do. I love a lot of their fucking songs. But they really put on a good fucking show, too. I've really never went to a concert and come back and been like, that fucking sucked. If it sucks, I start getting fucked up. The music gets better. That's how it is.
Scott says he likes U2, too. I mean, U2 is, they're a fucking huge band. I'm probably in the minority here. It was interesting when they did that. They put out that free album on iTunes, and everyone was just like, fuck you.
Well, that was...
Like, here, we're going to give you free music. And everyone was like, no, no, you're not. Eat shit.
Well, that album was dog shit. I got to tell you, dude. After Zooropa was the last decent album they did. And I'll tell you, that really wasn't that good. They had Rattle and Hum and the Joshua Tree. Those two right there are their fucking bread and butter. Those two 80s albums, 80s to early 90s, are really what most people like about their music. Mysterious Ways, Angel of Harlem, all that shit right there, man. But their new stuff, I don't know what fucking they're going for, but it's not good. I don't like any of their new stuff. But those two fucking albums right there, man, I could listen to both of them all the way through and jam to every fucking song. So, but I've really never left a concert and gone, I hated that. My parents dragged me to see the fucking Beach Boys when I was 15. And I got to tell you, not bad. Not fucking bad. It was actually a good show, man. was actually a good show.
Was that with or without Stamos?
Without what?
With or without Stamos, John Stamos.
Without. It was without.
Well, fuck.
Well, I think it was before that show went on. I was 15. That would have been 1990. When did Full House? Now you got me. Might have been, you know what? That might have been 1 year.
I think Full House was late 80s. I think it started at like 89. Look it up so we'll know.
I think Full House was 1989. I think you're right. Wikipedia will tell us what we need to know. Come on, Wikipedia. Come on, come on, come on.
Nope, I was wrong. According to IMDb, 87 to 95.
87? So I guess they just weren't doing all that shit yet. But that was the later seasons they started getting him in. He had been an Elvis fan for a long time, Mr. Stamos, which coincidentally, I happened to be just watching G.I. Blues before I came in here, an Elvis movie. So, but he was always an Elvis fan. But
so in a sense, what you're saying is that Uncle Jesse was ripping off the Honky Tonk Man. He was doing a bit of an Elvis gimmick.
A little bit. Or was a Honky Tonk Man ripping off John Stamos? I don't know. We'll have to...
That's a hell of a question.
Put that in your pipe and puff it. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like I said, I've never been to a shitty fucking concert. I've never really been thrown out. I've never been thrown out of a concert. But my... Like you said with your mom, my buddy Mike did security also for a company called CSC Security. You know, those yellow shirts you see? That was him.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought, got me a few thing, got me a few backstage passes, had me doing a few things. It was pretty cool. He got me, I've said this before, somewhere I have a cigarette that Andrew Dice Clay chewed on during his concert. I know it's in my house somewhere. I just haven't seen it. It's in a cigar box somewhere. Got me into a bunch of stuff for free. I think three of the times I saw Marilyn Manson was at a little club in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, called The Edge. And just walked in. He just come to the front, grabbed me, walked me in.
Nice.
We did that for a few things. Dice was one of them. He just walked me in. And I couldn't get good seats, but I was able to get down there, and he grabbed me a... Because that was when Dice quit smoking for those little bit of time, and he was chewing on his cigarettes on stage. But it was fun stuff, man. I like I said, in Florida, a lot of times what me and my buddies did is we went to concerts and comedy shows. That's kind of what we did.
Yeah. If that sounds like a fun time.
If you go to those comedy shows and you register, like you put your name in the little, used to be mailing list, probably the email fucking newsletter now, they used to send you tickets in the mail for like little shows. So we'd go. Free fucking tickets, 2-drink minimum. Let's do this. So we'd go, very unknown comedians, hypnotists, lots of fucking hypnotists and ventriloquists we went to. My sister got it. My sister ended up there once. She couldn't believe it with the hypnotist. They didn't make her do much stupid stuff, but it was pretty weird that I've never known anyone that's actually gone to one of those shows. I always think those people are plants. I always thought my whole life those people were plants. But turns out they're not.
I would have assumed so too, honestly.
Yeah. Turns out they're not. My sister went up there and she did some stuff I've never seen my sister fucking think of doing. So weird shit, man. But anyway, there's 40 minutes of the show gone.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, do we even have to talk about wrestling tonight? Really? Do we? Let's talk more about. I mean, what are the? Let's talk more about concerts, man. I don't know, man. I've been to so many, but
really,
like,
don't have that much concert going experiences.
Really,
I've been to a lot of wrestling shows, but not a lot of concerts.
I've been to a few wrestling shows. I've talked about a few. I was at one of the shows where Kane came out with the Druids. Went to a couple shows with my buddy, my old roommate Paul. Went to we used to go to SmackDown. Used to come to South Florida a lot, so we went to those. Don't know, man, but concerts, went to many. I've seen some great comedians. I've seen the Amazing Jonathan. If anyone knows who the Amazing Jonathan is, awesome. Do you know who that is?
Yes. I mean, there's really no way of saying it without repeating what you just said, because hypnotist and that kind of thing, too. Comedian hypnotist.
Well, he wasn't a hypnotist.
Was he not? He looked like, was he a magician?
He
looked like a musician.
He was sort of a magician, but like kind of like a horror magician.
Kind of a tall motherfucker, right?
Yes. Tall, big guy, long gold hair. Very, very fucking funny comic. I saw Jeff Dunham. Yes, laugh at me if you want. I saw Jeff Dunham. I actually have a Walter doll in my closet with his ass signed by Jeff Dunham. The Walter doll talks. I have that.
I'm not a fan of his comedy, but I'm a big fan of his politics.
Okay, there you go. I saw... I saw Mitch Hedberg. I got his autograph. Jim Norton. John Panette. I saw John Panette have his autograph. Chief Man said it's getting harder to like me.
People saw that at the same time.
Look, man. Jeff Dunham back in the fucking early 90s was cool, bro. You know what, man? Like I said, the free tickets. If you went to a bunch of the smaller shows, they would punch. It was like a Subway card, dude. They would punch your card, and you would get free tickets to a bigger show if you went enough times. So we got free tickets to go see Dunham. I paid to go see Amazing Jonathan. But there were many other comics we saw. But yeah, man. I mean, look, not like I've been to a fucking Nickelback concert. I don't think.
Tells you that in confidence.
No.
Holy shit, what a tour that would be. Fucking Jeff Dunham and Nickelback.
You know, y'all can make fun of Nickelback, but they're laughing their way all the way to the bank, bro. Right now. Right now, they're doing whatever they want, whenever they want. I mean, they were fucking gigantic in the fucking early 2000s, man. I didn't listen to much of their music. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like that Photograph song. And there was another one they had that wasn't bad, about some... I don't know. There was two songs I didn't mind by them. But...
the other one you're thinking of is Dance Hall Days.
No, wasn't that Wang Chung?
I don't know what you're talking about. No, that Everybody Wang Chung Tonight was Wang Chung. That was different.
No, I think they sang Dance Hall Days too. Now you got me wondering who sang Dance Hall Days. God damn it. It was fucking Wang Chung, you bitch. Okay.
It just wasted your time and everybody else's time getting you to look that up.
You thought they only had one song named after him. They're not one-hit wonders. They're two-hit wonders, sir. Because I can't name another fucking Wang Chung song. Besides Dance Hall Days and Wang Chung Tonight.
Look at this pornography. Whatever time I do, it makes me buzz.
Man. It, like I said, man, Nickelback's laughing their way all the way to the bank, man. But I don't know. I've seen AC/DC, Rolling Stones, Smashing Pumpkins. Actually, they were on one show.
Two of the people that I went to high school with. One, I'm sorry, didn't look.
No, no.
One of them I was actually good friends with. The other one I was kind of friends with. I just sort of knew about him. But anyways, they're in a band. And like 2 weeks ago, I want to say, last week or 2 weeks ago, they opened up for Scott Stapp, which is weird.
Wow.
Like, he came, he was doing a show downtown, and like everybody was like super hyped about it. And it's like, it's kind of cool and it's kind of sad simultaneously. I don't know. Like, it's good for them because they probably get paid a decent amount of money. But at the same time, it's like, your highlight is also like probably the low point of this guy's career. So, like, that's kind of something to think about.
Yeah, maybe, but
it's kind of like if you're a young up and coming wrestler and like you're doing a show and like you're wrestling at like a flea market and like Honky Tonk Man's there, it's like you know that you're going to be destined for bigger things in the future, but right now
you got to eat shit. You do what you got to do, man. You start where you got to start. You do what you got to do, man. But listen, man, I saw the Black Crowes, like, they were literally in my high school parking lot before they were huge, the Black Crowes. This had to be 85. I'm thinking 1990. I'm thinking I was 15 years old, and they were in my high school parking lot doing a show in North Carolina. I'm serious.
I know that you just said that was before they got popular, but I just choose to believe that they're in the parking lot of your high school for a significantly different reason.
I don't know, but they were pretty fucking, I still have the CD that they were giving out in the parking lot, not even charging for. Mm-hmm. They were giving them out in the parking lot of the fucking school during some, I forget what it was for, man. I was 15. It was a long time ago.
That would have been such a great move to take one of the CDs, wait 5 minutes, and then walk back and give it back to him. But you know what? We're good.
Nah, that would have been mean. That would have been mean. One, I am glad I got the Mitch Hedberg autograph because he was so fucked up. I didn't know if he'd be able to sign, but his signature is legible. His signature is legible. So I got that, which I'm happy for. John Panette, another one I'm happy I fucking got, because he's gone. So, and like I said, man, the Jeff Dunham thing, I was making so much money at that time. That little $30 fucking doll didn't fucking bother me none, and getting his signature on it. I still have it. Mm. It still talks. Actually,
I mean, I think at some point I was never really a fan of his. I'm going to be honest. I feel like at some point, if you listen to or watch enough like stand-up comedy, I think we all had like one or two people that we thought were funny for a while. That like looking back and it's like, they weren't so great after all. Like, I'm not gonna lie, when I was a teenager, I liked Dan Cook, but then it was like looking back at it, it's like some of it was all right, and then other parts of it were just kind of like the way he built a fan base through just like entirely through social media, basically just him fucking messaging a bunch of people on MySpace and befriending them. It's that part of it's cool because it's like kind of underground. Well, he built up his fan base, but
he did that. Then, you know, he had a couple comedy specials and he was fucking hilarious. And then he kind of got popular at colleges, man. And I know he's still doing shows. I think he might even have his own club. But I don't know, man. I still kind of like Dan Cook, man. He did a movie with him and Dennis Rodman and John Panette were in a movie together. Simon Says? Simon,
like Double Jeopardy or some shit?
I think,
oh, yeah,
Simon Says. S-E-Z. That was the movie.
Of course.
Not bad. I'll watch it. Again, man, John Panette. John Panette's a badass. If you don't know who John Panette is, watch the last episode of Seinfeld. He's in it. He's the guy yelling.
Watch it for Rodman.
He's the guy yelling in the street. You could watch it for Rodman. Or, you know, like I said, Dane. There's more in people in that. I forget who it is. But it's Dane Cook. It's Dennis Rodman. It's a bunch of them. Dane Cook was cast out for joke thievery. So was, who was the comedian Joe Rogan, the the Spanish comedian
Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia. You know, man, there's a lot of comedians get called out for that. You know, there's parallel thinking where something sounds.
Yeah, but both, I think both of these instances, though, the Mencia thing and the Cook thing, there's some really compelling arguments that they stole their shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, there is parallel thinking. I do agree with that. But, like, I actually watched, like a documentary, or, like, a documentary, but it was on YouTube, so it wasn't, like, fucking, it wasn't Ken Burns. It was some shit that a guy threw together. I feel, like, pretentious calling it a documentary. But, anyways, I watched a thing about Dane Cook that was on YouTube. They showed, like, the jokes that he was accused of stealing. A lot of it was shit from Louis C.K. And a lot of it was very similar, like potentially parallel thought, because I mean you can only do so many things in comedy. You do a lot of like dick jokes and things like that, but there was a compelling case, I will say. Yeah. But the Carlos Mencia stuff, he was straight up stealing shit. Like that is like almost undeniable.
Oh, Rogan straight up called him out. I mean, he fucking interrupted a show and called him out. Dennis Leary, another one who got called out for stealing jokes. Amy Schumer, well, she probably stole from jokes from Dolph Ziggler, but
she doesn't so much steal jokes as much as she just sort of absorbs anything in any room that she's in. So it'll be like jokes or just like a fruit plate or a box of donuts or potato chips.
Yeah, geez, I'm a Dennis Leary fan too, man. You know what, I gotta tell you, I actually like his acting. I think he's actually good in most of the movies he's in. Judgment Night, great fucking movie. Draft Day, Smart's favorite.
I wasn't gonna push it, but yes, he's the best part of that movie, which says absolutely nothing.
Yeah, The Ref, another good one of his. Bill Hicks, there's a great fucking comedian right there. But man, like I said, me and my buddies, all, you know, guys, girls, we all registered, we'd all get tickets, and when they sent you tickets, they wouldn't just send you a ticket, they would give you like five. Because they know once you're there, and once you have two fucking drinks, you're probably going to have a couple more.
Of course.
Yeah. Once they've got you, they've got you. And they know that. They're not stupid. But what's the name of that place we used to go to? Uncle Funny's. Down in Davie, Florida. So it was fun times down there, man. Like I said, we saw a lot of fucking good comedians down there. A lot of good fucking comedians, but concerts were just something we all just ran to. We used to go to a little, you know, back when you could go to the record store at fucking 4 a.m. and sit there and wait till they opened and get your tickets early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I don't. Uncle Funny's any relation to Doug? I don't think so.
That show was so fucking depressing. I loved it as a kid, but it, like watching it as like an adult, it's fucking depressing. Like, I don't know why I liked that show so much as a kid. Like, no, his life kind of sucks. Like, he's not terribly popular. He has like two friends. One of them is a black guy, but they weren't allowed to have black people on Nickelodeon, so they made him blue. And then he was like, he spent his entire like high school time trying to fuck this like Puerto Rican girl. I think that's what Patty Mayonnaise was supposed to be. I was more of a Rocco's Modern Life fan. I love that show. Fucking Rocco's Modern Life was great.
I don't remember that one.
It was a kid's show made for like the parents that were going to be stuck watching the kid's show. So there was just a lot of like innuendo inserted within the show. And a lot of just like kind of gags that you would have to be an adult to appreciate. But if you're a kid, you can kind of just look at the pretty colors.
Ah, that explains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That explains a lot.
So, like, he worked for his job, Rocco's job. He worked for a chicken place and it was called Chokey's Chicken. So like his job was a jack off joke.
All right. Interesting. It's kind of fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's getting a little weird.
Oh, it was good shit.
Oh, great, great, great. Sounds great. Sounds great. Salute Your Shorts for non-animated kid favorite. Just awful as an adult. Oh, God, I don't even know.
I watched all that too, Kane and Gallo. Like a lot of it, like is like kind of sad now because like a lot of the shows I watched as a kid, Dan Snyder was like a big part of, and then
yeah,
when you learn what Dan Snyder was into,
yeah, when you really get in, and you know, I actually, you know, that dude was in a lot of. I watched Head of the Class. He was in a movie that I really love called, with Judd Nelson that I've actually reviewed called Making the Grade. Speaking of Andrew Dice Clay, it's where Andrew Dice Clay stole his fucking character from Making the Grade. So he's in that movie. He's in a, and like I said, he was in the television show that I loved, Making the Head of the Class. Was a great TV show. I didn't realize he was so behind the scenes in Disney, or I'm sorry, Nickelodeon. And I obviously no one realized what he was doing. But I'll tell you, man, if you like watch some of that video footage they have of him like getting near the girls, they immediately like their shoulders tense up and they just like, oh no, he's coming near me. It's scary to watch. Very scary to watch. Anyway. Smark?
Yes?
Should we talk wrestling?
I mean, we're 6 minutes away.
What? I didn't hear a word you just said.
Fucking, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. You sound like you just fucking dove into a pool. All right, Cheese wants 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes of non-wrestling.
There we go. Okay.
There you go.
Well, not really what I did wrong, but my fucking headphones keep disconnecting, and for some reason I switched to the microphone on the headphones, so that's why it was all weird and staticky.
Well, quit it there, fuckstick.
Yeah, what I was saying was, we so far, we're about 6 minutes away from being an hour without getting into it at all. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, 3 minutes. So, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think of any more fucking concerts I've been to. I mean, I've been to, I mean, I don't think you want to hear about, like, you know, country concerts. I've been to a few of those. Seen Clint Black. Saw Charlie Daniels once. Hank Williams Jr. Clint Black was good. I actually saw him at a chili cook-off. And he had a technical problem before he went on stage. The band before him, I forgot who it was, something fucked up right when they left. He had to wait an hour and a half and still went on stage, waited the whole time, and fucking went up there and killed it, man. Clint Black. Fucking awesome show. I gotta tell you, man, I saw more titties at that concert than a fucking night at a strip bar.
The Clint Black concert.
Those fucking country girls, all they wanted to do was show him titties. There were titties. There were women on shoulders showing titties all night once he got on stage. That man.
Right on.
That man could write a song about titties. Because I have never seen that many. Alan Jackson was at that concert. Alan Jackson was there too. I saw some titties for him too, but not as many as Clint Black. Clint Black got more titties than I've ever seen in my life. And I mean,
not as many titties for Alan Jackson.
No, less titties for Alan Jackson. But, I mean, when
remember
you're...
Remember when
well,
you showed me your titties? That was cool. You want to do it again?
When you're way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
They, mm-hmm.
Okay. It gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie.
I now choose to believe that that is what the song Remember When was about.
It could have been. You never know. Remember when. Never know.
Uh-oh. She says, fuck Alan Jackson. We used to get called the Hoochie all the time because of him.
I apologize.
I just saw a clip black, so it's like someone look what they ate.
It's just that I don't get it. I don't get it. But All right.
Well,
we made that hour, folks.
We made it. We did make that hour. See, the sort of the canon is that we like to make racist jokes that we accuse Luke of making, but it's just us doing a shitty British accent.
Oh, okay. Okay. I get it now. Just add bruv at the end of every fucking word.
Mm-hmm. Because, well, yes, I mean, that's part of the thing, is that there's probably not that many black people in England, so we just make fun of him for being in a third world country.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be surprised. Lennox Lewis?
I mean, there's Gary Spice, Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis.
Craig David. That's about the only, that's three. That's about it.
I could probably name three or four more, but I'm just not, anyway.
Yeah, but they all come here. You see what I'm saying? That's the point. Well, like all of the famous black British people, they all just like they run for America. That's how they get famous, is they escape. Well, it's like Ilian Gonzalez. They fucking escape to America to avoid prejudice.
Ilian?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ilian Gonzalez.
I remember.
And Scary Spice, so they have a lot in common.
I remember that I lived in Florida during all that.
Mm-hmm.
I did. They were going in SWAT style for that kid.
Yeah, they were.
Oh yeah. Jeez, man, but desperately trying to move on from British minorities. Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure about them. I've never been to Britain. Never been to the UK, so I can't comment. I will say, if I watch a movie or TV show from over there, it definitely seems diverse.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. So y'all might be wrong on the amount of whatever. I don't have a clue, honestly. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you figured it out, but I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, like Scott said, Idris Elba, but that's part of the problem about, like, fucking The Wire. Is like, it's a great show, but it's a bunch of British people just fucking... That's the sad part, is like, it just fucking pulls the curtain back when you realize there's just a bunch of British people doing, like, this fucking fake Baltimore accent. Like, oh, that's a bummer.
Baltimore has an accent?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Baltimore has an accent.
They do.
Do you not know how fucking? Have you ever listened to Bam Margera talk?
No.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you.
But I have watched Homicide: Life on the Street. They're in Baltimore, and I don't catch an accent.
Well, yeah, she's right. Bam's Pennsylvania, but it's like that like northeastern type of accent where it's not like quite New York,
oof,
but like the other areas.
Oh, the part that's not New York.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think I'm getting confused now.
Yeah. I think it might be time to admit I don't know what I'm talking about, but yes, there is a Baltimore accent.
Okay, I mean, if you say so. I mean, I like them blue crab they got up there. I'll say that.
Yeah, Cheese is right. It's not New York, it's not Boston, it's not New Jersey. It's a mix of all of them. It's like when you get those popcorn buckets that have like the three different flavors of popcorn, and inevitably they just start to run together.
Oh, I mean the Boston accent I know well. I have tons of family from Boston. Jersey is right.
Yeah, but it.
See, it's funny. You got the New York accent, which is like, you know, horrible. Then you got the Boston accent, which is just completely damn near illiterate. You almost just can't understand them. And the Jersey accent is just like a more whiny New York accent.
Mm-hmm.
And a mix of all those. No wonder I don't care to go to Baltimore.
It's kind of the worst of all worlds.
Yeah, I'll just stay away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just stay away. That sounds good to me. Yes. good to me. Anywho, folks, I guess we should talk.
We successfully did the hour.
Plus, we did an hour plus. I guess we can talk a little wrestling tonight. I got a feeling this is not going to be a... There's really, like we said, there's not a ton of shit to get into. I'm not even sure there's really news. But we'll get into a couple quick things. I don't know. We'll spend some time on what we need to. Don't really need to spend too much time on this first story here. But here we go anyway. So, Dustin and Cody Rhodes, if you guys don't feel old, you're about to. Their nephews are about to make their pro wrestling debut. Yep. The great-grandsons of Dusty Rhodes will wrestle as the Texas Outlaws. Obviously, a name they borrowed from Dusty and Dick Murdoch. But yeah, Wayne and Wyatt Rhodes will make their pro wrestling debut this weekend at the Rhodes Wrestling Academy showcase event. Wyatt and Wayne just seems like some sort of 80s movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it does. And they are competing. They're making their debut, competing for the titles in a 2 out of 3 falls match on Sunday. And Dustin Rhodes wrote on Twitter, I'm going to go down to the tweet because it's bigger, the hashtag Rhodes legacy is strong and growing. Introducing my nephews, Wyatt and Wayne Rhodes, hashtag the Texas Outlaws, who will make their debut at RWA's showcase this Sunday, March 24th at 7, 6 Central on RWA's YouTube channel. In the main event, 2 out of 3 falls, 30-minute time limit for the RWA Tag Team Championship. Please tune in Sunday, Pro Wrestling YouTube, blah, blah, blah. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm feeling old, Smark.
I will say this. I don't know anything about them, and I haven't seen them wrestle, but I already like them more than I like Cody. I'm assuming that these two kids are also going to come out and just have, like, miniature American flags and talk about how much they love America and their dad. And I'm assuming that they're also going to have girlfriends that they use to cure racism.
I would hope. I mean, you can only hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see.
Oh, but maybe they do their own thing. Like, maybe instead of, like, because they're dating the black girl thing's already been done. It was done by Dusty. It was done by Cody. So, like, maybe you move on. Maybe you have, like, a Korean girl or, like, a Latina or something. Like, you got to move. You got to solve the other branches of racism. They got to stop Asian hate is what they got to do now.
They're in Texas. They could easily get some Latinas. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure, yes.
Oh, for sure. And some of these Texas Latinas are... Wow.
Head on down to 8th Street?
Down to Oak Cliff.
There you go.
Head on down to Oak Cliff. But there you go. Like I said, if you don't feel old, you should right now. Dustin's nephews and Cody's nephews are starting. Dusty's grandsons, great-grandsons, are fucking starting to wrestle. It is scary, scary times, my man. Now, their mom is Kristen Runnels Ditto. Kristen was a... I do think it's funny they spelled her name wrong in this... F4W Online article. Her name is Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, not K-R-I-S-T-E-N. Meltzer, get your shit together. But she's a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader, and she was very, very, very good looking in her days. I will say that. She put a little blurb on her page about the...
I thought you were going to say wait on. That was... ready to laugh. And I was like, oh, no. Okay, Blair.
No, no.
I was like, wow, that seems cruel. That seems unnecessary to the story. But, you know, I guess worth pointing out just the same.
I really didn't. I haven't looked on her website. I didn't see any new pictures of her. But I don't know how she looks now. But I know in her time, wow. She said.
Oh, my God. Somebody, did you see the Pope, because this is related tangentially speaking.
Okay, okay.
There was a picture from one of the like wrestling conventions that recently happened of Terry Reynolds and Missy Hyatt together, and it looked like something out of a fucking horror convention. Like if they were cosplaying as horror movie characters, they would have won gold stars. This is like, oh my God, like it's perfect for just like showing that photo to like if you have like a teenage girl that's like considering plastic surgery, just be like, look, this is what happens fucking 30 to 40 years down the line. Like, you'll look great for the first 20 years, but that shit is not going to last.
Yeah, it looked like Skeletor putting their arm around a smaller Skeletor. They did not look good, man. Neither one of them. Neither one of them looked good. But, I mean, you know, listen, man, age gets us all, bro. It's going to get us all. Mm-hmm. It's going to get us all. Less it's plastic surgery. It's
all the fucking plastic surgery.
Yeah.
It's all the fucking face jobs and boob jobs and lifts and tucks. It's not so much the age. Like, I'm not just cracking on it for being old. That happens to everybody. And so much it's just like, it's just fucking like, it looks like somebody left Barbie dolls out in the sun.
I know. Listen, I'm going to listen, Smark. I'm not going to get, I'm not going to get another boob job. Okay.
Good. I was worried about you.
I won't do it. I won't do it. I understand what you're saying. I get it. I get it. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the blurb. She put this on her website. It said, but my most favorite job of all is being mommy to my boys. Dalton Wayne and Dylan Wyatt, aptly named the Texas Outlaws. We live a happy life at DK Ranch in the hills. In the hill country of Lake Travis. So there you go. Proud of her boys. And like I said, if you're not feeling a little older right now, you should. You should. So, I don't know, Smark. What you got on old Wayne and Wyatt?
Seems like a real tongue twister of a name, like you said. You were saying you picture an 80s movie, just Wayne and Wyatt Rhodes. It's hard to say.
Yeah, just I see them on an adventure. They're in a car, they're getting pulled over, they're meeting girls. And seems like a good 80s movie. John Hughes.
Girls and cars?
John Hughes is writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I think the only controversial thing we've got to get into this week is something Ronda Rousey has not said, but put in her book, I guess. Boy, I got to tell you, it's amazing how people have turned on this woman. I mean, I was looking at one social media post about this article today. Not one nice thing about this girl. Not one nice thing about this poor fucking girl. Jesus Christ. Pretty bad stuff, but she did say a few things about Vince McMahon and the company in her autobiography called Our Fight, which will be out on April 4th. The former women's champion called out McMahon's ethics both on a personal and a professional level. She compared McMahon to the Star Wars villain, Emperor Palpatine. Rousey believes there is little disconnect between the McMahon character fans saw on screen and the man behind the persona. Amazing this is coming out now with everything else coming out about Vince McMahon. A couple little paragraphs from her book. I am going to read a few of them. This is the one I'm going to start with. NXT was founded by and under the control of Triple H. What? What's funny?
I was thinking more about the Emperor Palpatine comparison. I was just wondering, like, I haven't seen Star Wars that many times. Was there a scene where, like, Emperor Palpatine, like, shitted on Princess Leia's face?
Let the feces flow through you, Luke.
It's possible. Listen, I have.
And would that also make Johnny Ace Jabba the Hutt?
No, that's Jericho, remember?
Well, yes, of course. Well, yeah, well, that's true, because also he does the NDAs too, so.
It's Jericho the Hutt. Jericho the Hutt, that's who that one is. But I don't get the comparison. Maybe when I go through, we'll understand it a little more. I don't know. I've only seen the real Star Wars, the originals, so I don't know.
Yeah, Emperor Palpatine was in the original Star Wars.
Yeah, he was in one or two of them. I don't know. You think I remember that shit, bro?
I think he was in... I mean, I've only seen it once, and I remember. I'm just saying.
I remember him.
You only saw the original, like, the first trilogy, but, like, he was in those.
I remember.
Let's look her up.
I remember he had the black cloak on. He was all wrinkled and fucking hands and shit. I remember all that shit. Who fucking cares? Lightning out of his hands and bullshit. But anyway, you can look that up real quick. While I'm...
like... lightning out of his hands there and pulls.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of fucking...
He did the fucking thing. He was an old, wrinkly fuck, and he, you know, yeah. Like, human trafficked people like Vince did, you know, it's just...
Ah, oh, yeah, you got no proof of that.
No, you true. I have no proof that Emperor Palpatine human trafficked people.
No, that absolutely been, like, none.
Comic books.
No, that man's innocent. I can't tell if that's the kids running or the goats running on my front porch. The goats have been sleeping on my front porch. I don't know why.
Yeah, he was in The Emperor Strikes Back, so that would have been 1980. I think that was the second one.
Okay, that was number two, yeah. The good ones, the original ones. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's forget about the fucking Emperor. We'll bring him up again. We'll bring him up again, I promise. And Ronda Rousey says... In her book, NXT was founded by and under the control of Triple H, real name Paul Levesque. In addition to being my in-ring WrestleMania nemesis, he is arguably one of the best professional wrestlers in history and one of the better people on the business side. He is married to Stephanie McMahon, who is the daughter of WWE's Emperor Palpatine, Vince McMahon. Vince took over the company from his father in the early 1980s and spent the better part of 40 years playing a real-world pro wrestling version of Monopoly, buying up and absorbing smaller promotions until he basically owned them all. Okay, all right, we get it. That's something we've all known, comparison I think a lot of people have made. And she continues. It's hard sometimes to know where the evil, unethical, slimeball character of Vince McMahon played out for the cameras ends and the actual questionably ethical, many times sued and multiple times accused of sexual misconduct Vince McMahon begins. The blurred line between character and reality is a reoccurring theme within the WWE universe. But she didn't hold back. And this was before all the allegations came out. Keep going. Go. What were we saying?
I hope I greatly misinterpreted that. Because it was basically making it seem like it was hard to be like, well, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, if he's a bad guy in character or if he's actually a bad guy in real life. Like, you know, it's kind of making it seem like he was like just... living the life of his wrestling character. It's like, no, I hope not.
I don't see where it's too far off the old genetic jackhammer, sir. But I like how she goes through all that, and she not only compares him to the Emperor, but to the poor Monopoly man. You know,
yes.
That guy needs a fucking monogram to see. I don't think we should fuck with that guy. That's all I'm saying. You know, let's just leave him alone. leave that guy alone.
Monopoly really is sort of an evil game if you think about it, because you get your friends together and the idea is to drive them into poverty.
With fake money.
Well, yes, with fake money. Well, okay, either poverty or, like, to get them into jail.
With fake...
Well, yes, with fake money, but, like, it's kind of a warning sign. You got to think about, like, the company that you're keeping. Like, I was dating this girl one time. We had a party at her, like, apartment, and people... At the end of the night, people were getting drunk, and, like, people were, like, leaving, and people were going to bed or whatever. The people that were spending the night, they, like, things were winding down, was the point of the story. And she decides to put on fucking The Lion King. And I knew that was the biggest red flag I've ever seen in my life, because they're like, all right, we're having a fun time. Everybody's drunk. You want to watch a movie where somebody's parents die. The nerve of you.
Well, putting on fucking Lion King is definitely not appropriate.
Oh, well, you know, the fucking Lion King is it's a much different movie.
I mean, that sounds like
it's
different
a bit more
movie.
It's a bit more upbeat.
Great fucking soundtrack though, bro. Okay.
Believe it or not, Gilbert Godfrey is in that one too.
The first song goes bam chicka bam bow bam bow now bam chicka bam bow.
Okay. Hakuna Matata is what you're blowing a goat.
Don't mess with my goats.
I just don't think there were any goats in The Lion King, so that's a problem right there. It's not faithful to the original.
Yeah, holy fucking plot hole. Source material. Jesus Christ, what a plot hole that is, man. Mm-hmm. My gosh. Anyway, back to this fucking Ronda Rousey story. So she kept taking shots, and she then compares him to the way he controls women to that of the laws of Saudi Arabia. Pay-per-views are held in major cities like New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, as well as now twice as a year in Saudi Arabia, a nation that restricts the rights of women in a way that I'm certain Vince McMahon wishes he could.
I think he did, in some ways. I think he did a good job of restricting women's rights. He's doing all right for himself. I mean, he's not quite Saudi level, but, you know. Is that the next move for him? Like, because we were talking about Rodman before. Like, Rodman befriended Kim Jong. So, mm-hmm. Okay, maybe, like, Vince McMahon is just, like, he becomes the understudy of, like, a fucking, like, Saudi dictator.
Dude, I could totally see him in one of those turbans.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. That fucking
Shane, this is great. They can't even drive here, pal. This is wonderful.
Fuck yeah, that fucking mustache. Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Shane, they don't let women drive, and you know, there's no car accidents here, pal. They're the safest streets.
There's no beeping at all. They don't even have horns in their cars.
Everyone drives a Mazda Miata. It's wonderful.
Well, she kept accusing the WWE of things, even calling the culture in WWE casting couch culture, along with the sexist bullshit that they were subject to. One more. This one's a little longer, folks. But I'm going to get it out of here.
A touch redundant, yes. If you're comparing the culture to a casting couch, sexism seems like it's sort of just obvious. We don't necessarily have to repeat.
It does. But luckily, these are small paragraphs, and I will read quickly. WWE loves to do well-produced video segments about the legacy of women within the organization, but the truth is women have largely been footnotes. For the longest time, they were regulated to serving male characters in a valet role, an overly sexualized supporting character that takes cheap shots when the ref isn't looking. Over time, as the level of female talent grew and society as a whole started to shift, the organization gradually expanded the role of female wrestlers. WWE bills itself as a sports entertainment organization, and just like in the mainstream entertainment industry, there was, by all accounts, a casting couch culture where men backstage in powerful positions pressured female talent for sexual favors in return for airtime. There were so many public accusations and scandals, it's hard to keep track, and more that I'm sure the WWE managed to sweep under the rug. Well, sounds like John Laurinaitis is gone now, so, you know, probably a couple less. Women weren't just being demeaned backstage, but center stage up until 2007. Bra and panties matches where female wrestlers won the match by stripping their opponent down to their underwear were an actual fucking thing. Yeah, I was there. I watched. Even after that gimmick was...
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. It was pretty cool at the time. It was a different mindset. I'm sorry. Even after that gimmick was retired by WWE execs, I'm sure very reluctantly and with a lot of lamenting about political correctness, it was still clear the organization placed more value on a woman's physical appearance rather than her physical ability. Want me to pause there for a sec, Mark?
Well, two things. First off, funny thing is like, okay, yeah, it's we're in such a better place now. We're like 80% of women that are not employed by WWE that are in the wrestling business have an OnlyFans. It's like, yeah, maybe if we'd have just paid them more money, it would have been okay to exploit them. Anywho, that's part one.
Mm-hmm.
Part two, I actually think I might have forgotten. I had a point and then I lost the point. What was the last part of that sentence?
It was still clear that the organization placed more value on a woman's physical appearance rather than her physical ability.
Oh, yeah, and they still do. That was actually going to be my point. That is still very much the thing. It's like, if you look at most of the people that are over, they're over because of their physical appearance, or their physical appearance has a large part of... It plays a part, at least, in why it is that they're over. Like, even, like, Rhea Ripley, like, she has a very distinct look, and... sexuality is a big part of that.
Well, and I find it funny. A lot of people are posting all these pictures of like all the girls in NXT now. All of them, they're all turned around with their asses showing. And it's like, the future of NXT looks great. I'm like, no, the asses of NXT look great. I don't know about the future, but the asses are fine. I mean,
I like the idea of like, all right, well, now they don't care about appearance. Now it's about technical ability and what you actually have to offer as a wrestler. And meanwhile, it's like the same. You just see like fucking Nikita Lyons walk through the background.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. Ability, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are hardly any shots of her front side. Every one of them, she's just looking back. Just looking back. So. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it is still about that. To continue, the Divas era with its pink rhinestone butterfly title belt dawned around the same time. Women, while now portrayed as wrestlers, were still expected to look a certain way, think lots of makeup, little clothing, and huge boobs. It would take almost another decade, years after I proved women could be a huge combat sports attraction, before women truly started to get time in the squared circle, what diehards call a pro wrestling ring. I'm sorry, is she taking all the credit for, like, moving along women's sports altogether?
Squared circle, what diehards call. I think most people know that term. I don't think that's, like, calling it a squared circle is something that's just, like... That's what the fucking the real nerds call it.
Yeah, it was also they called the boxing ring that too, Mrs. Rousey.
And also, to be fair, the more I'm thinking about it, like, guys face scrutiny for how they look too, like, quite a bit still, like, guys and girls.
Oh.
Like, I've seen quite a number of people that aren't just Jim Cornette making fun of, like, Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley and people like that for not having the best physiques.
Oh, I would say the men actually now might even be worse than the, like, more critiqued than the women.
Oh, yeah, because you still have that in your heart if you're a certain kind of person. Like, you still want to make fun of the way people look, but then if Diana Perazzo's already blocked you on Twitter, you have to come after somebody else. So now it's like Eddie Kingston or Moxley or, like, just fucking, what's his name? The fucking Otis.
Yeah. A lot of them. A lot of them, man. I really think some of the guys are actually ridiculed just as much, if not more, than the women right now. But because most people, yeah, listen, everyone's fucking, all the women in NXT right now are, they all look the same, folks. I'm sorry. They're all blonde and or brunette with big boobs and little clothes. It hasn't changed, Rhonda.
Plus, I mean, part of it, it's kind of part of the business, too, because to some degree, like, you're doing an athletic thing. Like, it's not necessarily a legitimate sport, obviously, but you're doing an athletic thing. And there's a lot of, so there's a lot of athletes, there's a lot of bodybuilders, you're on TV and you're wearing very, like, revealing clothing, whether you're a guy or a girl. So there's going to be emphasis on your physique, and there's going to be a lot of, like, the need to look good or the pressure to look good, because, you know, that's fucking everybody that comes on has oil or tanner or, on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, I will say I do respect Ronda for, you know, she didn't go out, she didn't get the fake boobs, she didn't fucking buy into all that. She stayed her. So I do respect her for that, but I do think that it's still about most of the things she's saying, it's still about that, and I'm not done. Here we go, one more, two more paragraphs. And it was only after WWE was basically armbarred into it, following a global social media backlash to hashtag give divas a chance, thank you AJ Lee, after divas were given a total of 30 seconds less time than it takes most people to read this paragraph for a nationally televised tag match. Four women were given less time collectively to wrestle every single night, or wait a minute. Four women were given less time to collectively wrestle than every single man on the roster. On the roster, got for his intro music alone. That was a really horribly worded sentence. Presented this information as a person outside of the wrestling world, you might draw the conclusion that there is a troubling foundation, sexist, patriarchal culture within the WWE. You would be right. I have nothing but respect for the female wrestlers who paved the way for women wrestlers today, and nothing but disgust for the amount of sexist, degrading bullshit they were put through. I think that's it. Yeah, she wasn't holding back much on this one. And if you think about this, she didn't just write this after all the allegations against Vince. This must have been written a while ago to be put out now. It's got to be fucking written. It's got to be fucking printed. It's got to be fucking put out. It's got to be fucking advertised. It's got to be your media. It's... Rhonda knew some shit.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But I mean, this is also like kind of... The allegations against Vince are kind of the new thing, I guess, and depending on who you ask, not even that, because like he was talking about the casting culture shit, or casting couch stuff. If you go back, it's still online, it's still very much on YouTube. If you type in Paul London, Bearskin Row, you will see him making very similar accusations, and some of it like sounds like the most like ridiculous shit at the time. If you go back and watch it now, it's like, yeah, no, a lot of this seems very possible. But yeah, like, the portrayal of, like, how female wrestlers were, it's longstanding history of, like, you know, all the shit, especially that got dug up, or like everybody was saying when Linda was running for office, they started talking about the whole thing about Trish barking like a dog on Raw and that kind of stuff, and all the bra and panties matches, like she was saying. Like, women have been being treated like shit in wrestling for a very long time. That's really nothing new.
No, not at all. But she's also, I think she knew more than what she's saying in this little book of hers. But like I said, the allegations weren't all out about Vince McMahon yet. I think she might have been a little more truthful had she had this book, had the allegations come out earlier and this book been still in the works.
Yeah.
So maybe,
yeah, because as you kept reading, it kept getting worse. Because at first it was just like, yeah, he could sometimes be a villain, like his TV character. Yeah, like, I don't know, that we get subjected to a lot of bullshit. And yeah, it kind of is how it feels to be in Saudi Arabia, just like all the time. And yeah, I do hate coming to work, and that's why I don't come back there anymore. And yeah, just like, it just keeps getting worse as, like, the more you read, just the worse it gets. And, like, it started off as like, yeah, it's a bit of a tough job sometimes. Like, yeah, this is, I fucking hate it here. Like, yeah. I got punched in the face for real for a living, and I kind of would almost rather go back to that.
Hey, I think she'd rather just sit back, be a mom right now, and if that's what her choice, I say go for it. If she's got the means, hell yeah. I'm sure a lot of people would like to fucking retire at her age and just be home with their family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to do it, so...
I do wonder about that, because, like, yeah, I think that it seemed like the big problem for her was, like, where she came from, you had to actually be good at what you did. Like, whether you won or lost basically determined whether or not you got to advance in your career, you know, UFC-wise. But at the same time, like, she got promoted as a big star, in part because of what she looked like, too. So it's like, that's got to be kind of something to wrestle with. It's sort of the whole duality of that. It's like, yeah, you were good at what you did, but then you also became a star because you had a good look physically. Like, you were attractive, cosmetically pleasing, if you will.
Yeah, like doing naked ads for, what was it, Nike or something? I mean...
You're thinking of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue with the body paint.
Yeah, I mean, listen... Gorgeous, I'm like,
and I say
lie.
That as a connoisseur of fine art.
Right? Absolutely,
you know, it's kind of sleazy degenerate person. Yes, I.
And she looked beautiful. She did. She is a beautiful girl.
She sure did.
And she's lucky. I'm not going to say she's. I didn't mean it the way that just came out. She's not lucky. She's beautiful. It probably didn't hurt that she is a very good-looking girl. But she's still a badass, and she was definitely. She had the right trainer. Her trainer was a very famous man, Judo Jean LaBelle, very famous. She had the right trainer. She had the right, you know, let's just say she did have the right look. And she came to UFC at the right time. Dana had said many times, Dana White had said many times, there will never be a women's division in the UFC. Ronda changed all that. She changed all that.
Right.
She did, and she made it a good division. It's that's still going today and still a great division right now. But yeah, let's face it, the fact that Ronda Rousey is not exactly ugly definitely helped her out. Now she's obviously not saying that, you know, that's the only reason she got ahead, but didn't hurt.
Sure. Cheers. Take your time.
Yes, sir.
In the city.
People always have it easier in the world.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, absolutely.
Little Jaeger with ginger ale.
And, you know, like we were talking, well, I think last week we were talking about Cyborg. It's like Cyborg was every bit as good, if not better.
Right.
Fucking Cyborg wasn't on a star that same way. Like, even, and like, okay, you could say maybe because the English barrier or whatever, but... Amanda Nunes was a lot better than both of those two, in my opinion. She was also not a star.
Yeah,
I mean, she was a name within, like, the MMA community, but they didn't have her on, like, magazines or in movies and shit.
And, you know, even, like, last week we mentioned Gina Carano's career. Not that fucking decorated, not that great, but she's fucking beautiful.
Mm.
Which is why she gets movie deals. Which is why she was in the Fast and Furious, which is why she was in the Mandalorian until they fired her for her beliefs. Which is...
Well, shit, do you remember fucking Anna Kournikova?
Oh, yeah.
Bitch could not play tennis to save her life. She was, like, one of the biggest tennis players in the world for, like, 3 years just for existing.
Then she came out as a, I believe, a lesbian, and no one gave a fuck about her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys knew they didn't have a shot, and they were like, fuck it, who cares? Unfortunately, folks, it's the world we live in. It is what it is. There's not a goddamn thing anybody can do about it.
Ron is no Jessica Andrade, but she's not bad looking.
I need to put Mixler up here. I'm going to put Mixler over here. That way I can see it. I keep forgetting. Jessica Andrade. Ronda must not be squared circle. She must not be good with shapes. Good thing she clarified. Oh, I'm missing all kinds of goodies in the chat room. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm leaving it right there. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, folks, there's some... let's get to... I mean, listen. It's the world we live in, folks. And unfortunately, Rhonda can... You know, it's something, unfortunately, we've known that WWE has this... kind of, I don't want to call it a culture, but history of allegations, that are not good.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Track record.
I'm not trying to sound PC or anything. I'm just track record. History. Exactly. I'm not trying to sound PC. I'm just trying to say it without sounding like a fucking asshole. The fact, I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh, it is what it is. You know, go along with it or fucking leave. No, not at all. Not saying that at all. I'm saying she's definitely right, but this is nothing new. It's something we've all kind of been hip to for a while.
Mm.
But it's a different time now. Vince is no longer there because of allegations, just like she just put in her book. So...
Right.
So really, this book might not do well because this is all shit we already knew, you know?
I don't know. I'd be mildly curious. I don't think I would buy it, but that's more of me just not being as interested in Ronda Rousey as being enough to buy the book. But the actual subject matter might be pretty interesting.
Well, I'm going to put a petition out for Mike Tyson to be the audiobook reader.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd really like that.
There was a real casting couch culture going on there, and it wasn't very nice. Vince McMahon would defecate on people. That was pretty gross. I bit somebody's ear off once, and I wouldn't do such a thing. See, the problem is that my Mike Tyson is also a dusty road. So it like kind of goes
back. it's going a little in and out. Now I want to go back and try to read some of that as Mike Tyson. Let's see. NXT was founded under control of Triple H. His real name is Paul Levesque. In addition to my in-wing WrestleMania nemesis, he's arguably one of the best professional wrestlers in history. All right, I'm done. By the way, this
kind of like Emperor Palpatine from Star Trek.
He's like that guy with the lightning in his fingers from Star Trek. Yeah, Star Trek. There you go.
I was a real big fan of this. It's a bit of an aside for me, Mike Tyson, to read on this book, but I was a real big fan of Jar Jar Binks. He reminded me of myself in many ways. It's also a bit of Tim Madden. Actually, that just straight up became Tim Madden's the ladies' man.
Up until 2007, bra and panties matches. Oh, I loved them. Holy shit, they were good. Oh, man. All right, okay.
You remember the time I was at WrestleMania? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, cheese man, I don't have the fucking voice to do that anymore.
I used to be able to get up there and do a little bit of Mike Tyson, but that's not totally bad right there. They slipped down to their underwear. There was an actual fucking thing.
And I agree.
Cheese is right. My Mike Tyson is straight up just Dusty Rhodes. There was a very slight hint of Tyson in there, but it was just Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, you see, I can distinguish them because my Dusty is Dusty, baby. Because Dusty will come out and say, baby, what we doing here? It is getting funkier than a monkey up in here, baby. Whoo, daddy. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
You want to talk about being judged for your appearance, baby. They made me wear polka dots. Vince called me a fat piece of shit right to my face. I said, that is a bit much. I said, I think I would rather go back to the NWA if it's all the same to you. And he said, Dustin, we're going to drive them out of business. And I said, oh, no, daddy.
Don't get me wrong. Still like the guy. But kind of an asshole. Mm-hmm. Kind of an asshole, you know.
Anyway.
My son cured racism.
like it's a disease. Holy fuck.
I mean, it's not weird if you really think about it. I mean, yes, her face does kind of look like a lizard. She does seem like she might be in the Illuminati, like she might be a lizard lady, but she's still a real sweet girl. She reminds me a bit of Sapphire.
You sound like ladies' man now.
Yep.
What's that guy's name? What's that guy's name? Tim. Is his name Tim? Tim.
That's what I said. Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows. That's it. That's definitely. Fucking great movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. I like that one. That's a good movie. I got to add that to my list of movies to watch. Watch. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Let's see. I've got a few more movies here, but I don't think you want to hear any of them. I pretty much own every movie I probably ever fucking need to. Way too many. Way, way too many. So anyway. So folks, we all know Mercedes Moné last week made her AEW debut at Big Business. Well, I think we all knew this article was going to come out about people being a little upset that what she's getting money-wise. There's many reports. None of us know, folks. It's a private company. We're never going to know. But according to a lengthy, I like how Wrestling Inc. put this, according to a lengthy report by PW Insider, Moné was in talks with both WWE and AEW at separate points over the past couple years, chose AEW for a variety of different reasons. We've said this, folks, right after she started getting kind of some publicity that she was in talks with these companies, she trademarked a bunch of stuff. She wants to think about her future. She wants to think about something besides just her wrestling career. God forbid she gets hurt and something doesn't work out. She could still have a clothing company. She could still have this. She could still have that. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Good for her. She's thinking about her. Not. She's thinking about more than just herself here, if you ask me. A lot of people have said, oh, this is a fucking selfish move. No, it's really not. This is putting your fucking future in your hands. That's what it's doing.
I mean, okay, yeah, wanting a lot of money is selfish, but at the same time, well, I mean, you have to look out for yourself. Like, if she, like you said, if she gets injured or if she gets released or whatever the fuck, you're not going to give her money out of your own fucking bank account, are you? No, of course not.
She said she'd like
to... Like, the whole idea is to... Oh,
go ahead. No, she said she'd like to thank Eddie Guerrero for her Moné.
Oh, my God, yes. We didn't talk about that last week when you were talking about the fucking the return promo or the debut promo, however you want to look at it. It's getting to the point now where, like, I almost think it's a fucking rip. Where, like, her mentioning how much she loves Eddie Guerrero is a lot like fucking R-Truth saying that his childhood hero was John Cena. It's a fucking joke at this point.
I mean, she did the same shit in WWE. She would do the shoulder shake. She would come out in Eddie Guerrero gear. All right.
I know, but I thought that was, like, what they were making her do. It was, like, of all the things to incorporate to, like, take from your WWE character, the fucking being an Eddie Guerrero super fan is a weird choice. Not to say that he wasn't good, obviously. He was fucking great. But, like, did you have to continue to, like, keep fleshing that part of your character out?
Yes, she did.
Well, as we've established before, this is fucking WWE rules. If you are not a Latino person, then you are not an Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio fan. Because mm-hmm. that's like only the Latino wrestlers can be the next Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio. That's all Latino wrestlers are. They're either the next Eddie or the next Rey.
Yeah, which is sometimes fucking horrible to hear. But mm-hmm. where were we here? AEW's discussion with Moné recently reportedly stretched back as far as 18 months before her debut at Big Business, which makes sense because that would have been with where her appearance at Wembley when she was hurt would have been, putting the initial discussions in September 2022, right around that time, folks. This report this rapport has blossomed over time, obviously. I'm not going to read the rest of that because it's just kind of a bunch of stuff that we already know. But they do say a lot of the female talent backstage is not very happy with what she is getting. Obviously, no one really knows. Translation,
Britt Baker is not happy with the money she's getting. Let's just call it for what it is.
Man, I think a lot of people, look, I get it. And you know what? We don't know what she came in at. We don't know what Okada came in at. I don't care what got fucking leaked. Like I said, when the Bucks bring something up on television, I think it's bullshit because they're fucking trolls. That's all they are. So, I don't know, man. We don't know how much anyone makes. We don't know how much. Yeah, it was out there. Oh, she's asking for this much, this much, this much. You know what, though? If you're asking for that much from one company, and one company might offer you less and give you, you can still have your trademarks. You can still have your life. You can still work indies. You can still do this. Do you know, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but Tony could have paid her way less and she got way more. And that might mean more to some people. You know what I mean?
As in, like, bringing in other people in the future?
As in the fact that not everyone is out for just the money, but the fact that Tony lets her, that AEW, let's not say Tony, let's say AEW, lets her have the trademark, lets her have this, lets her do this, lets her do that, the indies, the this, the that, whatever it is, that's her future right there. Like I said, that's her backup in case fucking anything goes wrong. Her clothing line, her whatever line she has, all that's backup. WWE wasn't going to let her fucking do that shit. They want every fucking trademark, and she was going to be Sasha Banks. There's no way she was coming in as Mercedes Moné, the CEO of anything. So that wasn't going to work. So, you know, Tony fucking paid her a shitload. He paid her this much, that much. No one fucking knows. But he may not have.
I understand a little bit of the idea of, like, being upset that she got paid a lot of money. But, like, also, you're working for a guy who's just essentially a Nepo baby. I understand it sucks, but, like, yes, life is not fair. You're working for a guy whose dad is rich, and that's why he has a wrestling company. Like, it sucks, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, true. And, it's not like Tony doesn't have his own ventures out there that he's making his own money off of. Whether or not your dad was who he was, he's not just sitting there, you know, by the fucking Billy Madison, by the fucking pool, drinking all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's...
Ooh,
you like that reference to Billy Madison?
That's actually an idea. I actually like that. Or maybe not so much Billy Madison, but more of, like, fucking... Was it Tommy Boy?
Okay.
I like the idea of, like, you make Tony Khan, like, Chris Farley's character in Tommy Boy, and then I don't know who the David Spade would be, but maybe Moxley or something.
That would work.
I guess...
Brian. Brian would have to be the David Spade character. The straight-laced guy. It'd have to be Brian Danielson.
She says a good point. He says every time I hear Nepo Baby, I hear the tune of the Muppet Babies intro.
You know, like I said, man, you can sit there and say the guy is this, the guy is that, but you know, he's got his own fucking venture. He's out there making his own money. Whether or not he got them on his own or however he fucking got it, it's there now. He's too old to be doing all that. He's too old at this point. He's making his own money at this point. Doesn't matter how we got there. That's my opinion. But nobody knows how much she's making. Nobody. And you know what? Why does this matter to anyone? If she got the most money out of Tony Khan and was able to do all that shit, you fucking go, girl. More fucking power to you.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, yes, everybody is going to be trying to get the most money that they can get that they're worth from him, from the contracts or whatever. She just had a bit more of a higher window
well,
what she could command.
Now let's see what the ROI. If you don't get fucking return on investment, then it ain't a good fucking deal. So only time will tell if that's a good deal. Whatever he paid her, we have no clue. Whatever it was, whatever he paid Okada, we're all just going to have to see if it pays dividends. And we won't know because they are a private company. We will have to depend on fucking Dave Meltzer, who can't even fucking look up on Google how Kristen is spelled with an E or an I. That's who you're going to fucking depend on. That's who you're going to fucking depend on for your fucking news, folks. Welcome to the fucking world of fucking the IWC. I am sorry, Smark. I just kind of got on a little rant there.
I think the only reason they paid Okada so much is just they had a hard time converting like the yen into American dollars, and it became just a big hassle.
That's what it was. He came in and said he wants this much fucking yen, and they're like, oh, no problem. And then they're like, whoa. Okay.
Well, holy shit. Okay, man.
You got us. You got us, Okada. You got us. Good job. Good job, Okada. Yeah. It was good. Speaking of some of the people we've been talking about, though, that no one knows about, Eddie Kingston, folks, was on doing an interview with WrestlingNews.co, and basically he kind of said, now listen, I've been a little critical of Eddie Kingston lately. As of late, I do know he just got out of surgery, so I'm trying to be as diplomatic as I can about it. But he now says, when he was asked how long he is going to keep wrestling for, this was his answer, folks. How long do I have? I don't know, Kingston said. I'm just going to keep going until my body says no more. I would like to reach 30 years because that's an old school number. Like a lot of the old school guys would like to be, 30 years is what they wanted. So I like to say I'm 30, but I'm going to probably go until I can't walk, to be honest with you. Terry Funk is the GOAT, so I learned from him. Listen, folks, like I said, I know he just had hernia surgery. I'm trying to be nice about this, but Eddie Kingston is not looking great. I will admit, the match he had last night with Okada, I did think he looked much better. I thought he looked improved. Now, he was also in there with Okada, but I didn't think Eddie looked very bad last night. He wasn't chopping the guy like he was fucking hitting bubble wrap, which is, I mean, Okada even had some fucking, you know, a little bit of fucking blood blisters on his chest. I thought he looked better last night, but I don't think it's too much longer until he can't walk. I hate to be an asshole, but I don't think he's got too much longer in him until he can't walk. I really don't. By the way he moves. What was that?
This is your bias towards... This is your bias towards chubby people, I think it is. Because, like, you're sitting there, like, fucking, he can't walk now. You're wobbling like a goddamn penguin. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing.
That's not...
Also, when you said that, when you read the quote about Kingston wanting to be like Terry Funk, I just, for some reason, pictured him and Beyond the Mat instead of Terry Funk. Like, just trying to beg Dennis Stamp to, want to wrap me in Brett Partner? Why aren't you going to be there? I'll get you booked. Come on.
That's awful. Speaking of Terry Funk, I'm going to watch that.
He just replaced fucking Dennis Stamp with Homicide. Homicide's just like fucking jumping on a trampoline somewhere, half naked, like Dennis Stamp was.
You know, it's funny. I just actually got an updated copy of Beyond the Mat, a Blu-ray instead of a DVD. I got a Blu-ray instead. Actually, I got an extended version Blu-ray copy of Beyond the Mat on Monday. Believe it or not, I found one. I did not know there was an extended version. Did you?
I did not. I was laughing because I went back and looked at the chat before I even made you gave you a hard time for you being mean to Kingston for being overweight. I just looked and saw a bunch of fat jokes at his expense in the chat room. So there you go.
Well, this is what we depend on my chat.
He approaches
room.
Food with the same vigor. The interview. All right, that one got me. I may receive during the
The only
got like a fucking giant foot long fucking Italian sub.
The only the only funk he got is coming from his fat body. Oh my god!
I got Panda Express. Want some Panda Express, partner?
Hey, don't be fucking with Panda Express. That fucking walnut fucking shrimp is badass.
It's great.
Ooh, I get
so
the
much chicken. Oh, Asian beef.
I get the. I do. I get double walnut shrimp. I charge you $1 extra for that, by the way. $1 extra mm-hmm. for double walnut shrimp because I get the two entree meal and I double the walnut shrimp. Oh my god! I feel like I have diabetes. I feel like I have diabetes afterwards, but I'm all right.
Yeah, that's right.
I get the
Beijing beef. I get the Beijing beef, mm. either the orange chicken or like the sweet fire chicken.
Okay, my kid likes the broccoli beef. He gets that, but and my kids love the chow mein. They do not like the fried rice from Panda at all. They think it is awful.
Probably because they put the egg in it. They're probably not down with the egg.
No, they love the egg. My wife actually makes a badass fucking fried rice with egg, but
okay.
I don't know why, but they do not like the fried rice at Panda. But they love the fucking chow mein. They love the noodles. So I get that for them all the time. Actually, it's funny. There's, you know, I'm sitting here in the middle of the fucking country, and we actually have a Panda Express not far from us. So
mm-hmm.
good there. Good job. So, folks, if you were paying attention to any of the wrestling news out there, you know that Matt Hardy, while not on camera, did go to Raw, and he simply just bought a ticket. Might have been for a skybox, but he bought a ticket and went to Raw and was visiting with friends. You can do that, folks, and he did that. There was like, he was there for about an hour and a half. There were pictures of a line of people just waiting to get their picture taken or an autograph with Matt Hardy. Boy, I'll tell you, after what him and Jeff have been publicly, more Matt than Jeff, complaining about on social media with their spot in the company, I'll bet that was a great confidence booster for Matt Hardy. And folks, let's not play around here. I will almost bet you Triple H is watching. Triple H ain't stupid. You may see one last short run for the Hardy Boys in WWE.
Okay. I mean, the thing about it is, like, they left because they weren't being used properly. And, like, okay, yeah, that was under Vince, but, like, they left because they weren't getting used properly. And they didn't get used properly in AEW. Now, if they leave and go to WWE, they're not going to get used properly there either. Like, it's just to the point where, for whatever reason, I guess they're just getting older, that they're just not treated as the stars that they once were, and they're not used the same way. Like, you might get a little something for the first, like, couple weeks, but I feel like towards the end, they'd be in the same exact position that they're in now.
Yeah, you know, and Cheese is asking about Rebby. Did she leave him? They've had a few weird tweets going on between each or exes. I don't know what to fucking call them anymore, folks. I'm old. I'm going to call them fucking tweets still. She was there. She wasn't in the skybox with them, but reports.
Yeah, she was with them.
Yeah, reports have her as there too. I'm assuming not, man. Listen, I think. Matt and Rebby just like to work the fans, I think they like yeah. to, I think that's how they spice up their fucking marriage is by working us. So I don't know,
mm-hmm.
but that's pretty cool that he did that. And like I said, man, I'll bet that was a big confidence booster to him. I don't know why they're not being, well, all right, listen. You can say they left WWE, but you got to remember, Matt Hardy was gone for a while. Jeff was there, and Jeff walked out during a match, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was because he was not being used or what the reason, this reason, that reason, Jeff still walked out. So, they didn't, I mean, you could say they left, but Jeff was kind of fired after he walked out. But I.
Right.
Who's knocking on my door? Come and knock on my door. Get the fuck out of my way. Anyway, I think that's pretty cool. And like I said, I'll bet that was a nice little booster for Matt right there. Yeah, I'm sure he hasn't been feeling very good about his spot in AEW. They've been kind of regulated. But speaking of someone else, and I did want to get into this before we get into AEW, which we'll get into in just a minute, folks. Folks, I'm not talking Rampage. I did not watch that third hour. Did you, Smark?
Rampage? No, I did not watch Rampage.
They had a 3 hour Dynamite plus Rampage. Did you know that?
That's unfortunate.
Okay, you didn't
honestly
know.
No, I didn't. I watched Dynamite, but I did not know that they were doing a Rampage either before or afterwards.
Yeah, no big deal. We're not even going to fucking mention. I've got the notes if you want to. We can run down it real. Not notes. I have the results. If you want to run down it real quick, we can. I don't think we need to bother. But one guy I want to talk about real quick.
You don't want to know what Commander is up to?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not right, really.
Proceed.
I don't care if he spells his name with a C or a K. I'll tell you the truth. So, Jack Perry, notably right now gone from AEW, notably with New Japan. We all know this. Anyone who's listened to the show, we've talked about it, and it's been in the news. You're listening to this show. You're pretty tuned into what's going on in wrestling. Well, if you're wondering why he's not going back or hasn't been back in AEW, according to Dave Meltzer, there's still tension between Tony Khan and Jungle Boy or Jack Perry, whatever you want to call him. Meltzer says this, and this, I might get angry again if I do, I'm sorry. Essentially, Tony is really mad at him because he cost him CM Punk. So he's getting the blame, Meltzer explained. He probably should have been suspended for a month or two. Where are we at? 7 months now? It's ridiculous. Punishment doesn't fit the crime at this point. I mean, it's like it's his fault because the other guy lost his mind? Okay. I don't usually agree with Dave Meltzer here. But, Smark, you've heard me say this. I've said this before on this show. CM Punk made a choice to deal with that situation at that moment the way he dealt with it. Not like a fucking adult, but like a little fucking high school kid who chose to fucking punch and hit someone instead of saying, this is a huge night for the company, Mr. fucking company man, the company, and I will deal with this later. Let's all have our moment. Let's not do this. CM Punk made that choice. Jack Perry said something stupid. Okay? I agree with that. Jack Perry said something dumb. CM Punk made a choice to deal with it at that moment, in that way. If Tony Khan is still blaming Jack Perry for this, if I was Jack Perry, I will tell Tony Khan to kick fucking rocks and get the fuck out of my life and don't fucking lose my number. Don't call me ever again. You're going to blame me for that piece of shit doing what he did to me? Fuck you. Fuck you. Anyway, Smark, Alvarez agreed with him, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've said this before on the show. I think Punk did this. CM Punk screwed CM Punk. So let me hear.
Well, I mean, I would blame kind of the Bucks more than I would blame Jack Perry, honestly. But I mean, the fact that we are, you could potentially assign the blame to any number of people because Punk's been in it with a number of people is probably just more indicative of the fact that it was largely Punk's fault. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. Like, there's a lot that doesn't make sense about this. Like, I totally believe, because it's just, it's wrestling, and people in wrestling are like an extremely petty people in general. Typically, anyway, like, I could totally believe that Tony Khan is mad at him and is just like freezing him out, or however they wanted to word that. They want just fucking leaving him in New Japan, like he fucking sent him to boarding school or something. That's wild. Like, I wonder what the fucking the president or the owner or whatever New Japan has to feel about that. It's just like, you can't just send your fucking disobedient children to a wrestling company. Come on, Tony.
Why not?
That being said, it's like, okay, if you're not happy with him, and you think that he caused you like the biggest star that your company had or whatever, fucking fire him.
Oh, like, God forbid.
Fire him. Why are you still going to keep paying him money? Like, do you really think that he's going to become that big of a star if he goes to WWE? Like, you tried making him a star and it didn't really work. So
right.
Do you really think you're going to be missing out on that much? Do you think that fucking Jack Perry v. Roman Reigns is going to be setting the world on fire in fucking a year or two? I don't think so.
No. I just think this whole thing, I think Tony Khan lost his fucking jerk-off dream guy. My God, get CM Punk in this company. I think that was literally one of his fucking wet dreams, and then he got him in the company, and Punk came in, had a match, got hurt. Punk came back.
Had I think a match. That was part of it, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it was his fucking dream guy. So, like, Tony Khan was, like, almost, like, looking at him like he was still watching fucking wrestling when he was a teenager or whatever, and he was a big Ring of Honor fan. He was still seeing that guy and not, like, somebody who you have under your employ.
Yeah, exactly. And not kind of crazy old man CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate to say it, but I mean, every other fucking week, what story was it we were hearing in the AEW locker room? CM Punk gets into it with this one. CM Punk gets into it with that one. Then we'd hear about, you know, an Andrade or a Sammy Guevara or this or that. But mostly, it was CM Punk. Punk.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I think it's seriously, if I was Jack Perry and that was really the reason, if that's really the reason, I would tell Tony Khan to lose my fucking number, and he just fucking lost out. Jack Perry could be big for a company that knows how to push his story correctly. His father was a gigantic fucking star in the acting world.
Yeah. Also, for whatever it's worth, like, keep in mind the fact that, like, I haven't watched any New Japan recently, but I do know for a fact that he is calling himself in New Japan the scapegoat.
So, right.
Like, the scapegoat for what? Like, obviously, that's a reference to the CM Punk thing. So, like, maybe the idea that they're, like, kind of floating around, that there's still tension between him and Tony Khan, it might be a little bit of work.
It could be. And that's why I keep saying, if true, it could be. But I'm just saying, if that was a true story, I would tell Tony Khan to get fucked twice. Twice.
Scott says, if Tony was a man, Perry would be naked in a river and a week later. So fucking, he wants Tony Khan to straight up just assassinate the man.
I mean, that's one way to handle it.
I think that would be probably probably be a pretty good way to, like, you know, get some of this, like, toxicity or whatever in the AEW locker room taken care of. It's like, if you start murdering people, there's probably going to be, like, Sammy Guevara is going to get his shit together real fast.
Listen, it worked for Snuka.
And we've fucking worked for Dario Cueto too. Like, right. Having people kill.
Listen, murder works.
Did,
man.
You did not hear about any fucking dissension in the Lucha Underground locker room.
No,
it wasn't until after the show ended that, like, the drama started happening. So when fucking Dario Cueto was having people murdered for being, like, undercover cops or whatever,
you got to make murder work for you. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What did I just say? Anywho.
That'd be a good way to get Vince's respect, if Tony Khan just, like, murdered someone.
Very true. It could. Anyhow, Smart, do you even give a shit to get into fucking AEW? I mean, we've already gone 2 hours, over 2 hours. I mean, what really happened on AEW last night that we've got to fucking get into?
It was a very underwhelming show, honestly. I mean, if we're being honest about it, considering the fact that they had a bunch of shit announced already, and like so, a lot of it sounded good at the time, it sounded good last week, but then like the actual show happened, and it was like, kind of who gives a shit? Like the Okada Kingston match was good.
The main event was good. The I Quit match with Adam Copeland and Christian, but there was almost no way that couldn't be good. Those two have worked together for fucking years. Come on. But it was and folks, we basically got a TLC match out of those guys. Another one.
Yeah.
Not saying it was bad. I liked it. We have a new champion with Adam Copeland.
But I mean, yeah. Good. Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
So, like, the first match was good. The last match was good. Everything else was kind of just, who cares? Like, I like The Butcher, but the fact that they just randomly brought him out there and had him against Swerve, just, like, who cared? Like, everyone knew Swerve was winning, so, like, that didn't matter. Did anybody really care about that fucking tag match with I can't even remember who's in the fucking tag match. It was Willow and, it wasn't Willow. It was fucking Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. And Tony Storm, Mariah May, that's who it was.
And Mariah May.
I was like, all right, who cares?
And I think this Mariah May dressed up as the old school Tony Storm is just stupid. I don't like where they're going with that story. I've already lost interest. They need to do a little shakeup, and they need to fucking think about what's going on. But that was good. Adam Cole, again, if they're trying to make me hate him, they're succeeding.
You don't like story time with Adam Cole?
I don't like the way they're doing it.
Actually, I think I just now realized that's what they're doing. Because before he would cut the promo, baby, and like it's story time with Adam Cole. And now he's literally doing story time with Adam Cole.
I'd rather him be in the ring. I don't like the way they're doing this. I don't need him sitting in a fucking chair. I'd rather him sitting in a chair in the ring telling these fucking stories. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay, let's try to make this better. He's in the chair. He's reading from the storybook. He's talking about how Wardlow let him down. And then in like the background, you could just hear somebody's voice, and you can't quite tell who it is, but they're really super upset about how much money Sasha Banks is making. Like, all you could see is just like the outline of a nose. So you can't really quite tell who it is, but you could tell that that's a big nose.
Yeah, and they have on a dentist glove for some reason.
Mm-hmm. It could be Isaac Yankum.
That's who it is. That's who it is. Were they in Tennessee? Were they in Knox County this week? No, they were in Toronto.
Not this week.
They were in Toronto.
A couple weeks ago, they were in Alabama, so that was pretty close.
Yeah, kind of close. I will say I did like the Will Ospreay promo.
I enjoy that they basically just made being British Will Ospreay's gimmick, which, I mean, is working for him, but okay.
I liked it. I actually thought it was a very good promo. I didn't have to sit there and be like, what is this fucking crazy man saying? I completely understood everything he said. There wasn't too many. The most of the bruvs came from the fucking crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know,
it
man.
It actually reminded me of you, because he was saying that he had like 3 cats and 2 dogs and like 4 kids. And I was just like, that seems like a boxman situation. Just like he's got a bunch of animals and he's got a bunch of family just running about.
I got 3 goats, 19 chickens, 2 ducks,
mm-hmm.
and a partridge in a fucking pear tree.
That's right. Fucking Danny Partridge in a pear tree. You got Danny Bonaducci just hanging out.
Oh, I don't fuck with Danny Bonaducci. Poor guy.
He's wild. Bite your own mouth.
Anyway, that's really all I got on that. I mean, honestly, they mentioned a bunch of matches for next week. We've got Hook will be given a proposition. Who fucking knows what that is? Swerve versus Takeshita. That'll be good.
It's only funny because I'm immature. I just picture like, it's like, look, I got a proposition for you. I'm going to be at the Ramada Inn. I need you to come alone. I need you to sign this NDA.
It's Jim Cornette wanting to know if you'll fuck his wife. This is how they
get. The worst part is if you see what she looks like.
This is how you get Jim Cornette on AEW. Hook, I've got a proposition for you, my man.
Now, Powerhouse Abs, would you be interested in fucking my wife?
Let me get a picture out. Oh, don't ruin it, Jim. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Anywho. Oh, shit, man. Anyway, that's all I've got, man. I think that's enough. There wasn't, like I said, AEW wasn't great this week. I think we probably got into plenty. So, unless you got something else.
No, I think that about does it. They're preempting. They're not doing a fucking Collision this week because of the NCAA tournament. So if anybody, for the three people that watch Collision, I hate it for you.
Wow. They DVR it anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't worry. But, all right. Then I guess that's it. Then Smark, tell him.
In the chat room, Cheese keeps accusing British people of being Australian for some reason, and I don't know why, but it's tickling my fancy.
I mean,
speaking of Cheese, totally inappropriate team sports, tits, as it were. Mondays, 8:30 p.m. We're back to Mondays at 8:30 p.m. For a while there, it was Sundays. Now it's Mondays. Mondays, 8:30 p.m. on the YouTube. Totally inappropriate. Team sports, tits, be a bra, support tits.
Yes, folks. And support tits on a Monday because, you know, you've been fucking, you go back to work, you're a little fucking angry, you got to go back the next day. But if you have tits, it makes everything better, folks.
That's right. And they're doing the college football, I almost called it, March Madness tournament. So we all have teams in the tournament. So we'll be talking about that next week. Everybody banded together and let Matt have Kentucky, and then Kentucky lost in a pretty embarrassing fashion. So we're going to make fun of Matt. So if you want to be with us Monday at 8:30 p.m. to enjoy that, that'd be fun.
Well, there you go, folks. Join us also next week, Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, right here. WrestlingOutlet.mixler.com. We're going to be here again because right now it's all I can do. Like I said, it's what my internet lets me do. But anyway, folks, thank you, chat room. Thanks for coming on in. I appreciate everybody coming back on Mixler with us. And we'll be back here next week, folks. And that's it. All I got to say to you is see ya.
Adios.